You know, that principle of use it or lose it, I see it all around me. You've experienced it. It applies to the natural realm, to the spiritual realm, and to the physical realm.
This is Straight Talk.
I have to tell you that I've been so encouraged by the feedback of listeners, your emails and your calls and letters. I recently ran into a person that told me they would listen every day. In fact, he told me, "Hey, I just want you to know this program has meant so much, has fed my spirit." He said, "Every day I tune in it, and I tell you, it is helping to really change my life." And that was encouraging to hear. And so I want to encourage you to continue to let your friends and family members and other people know about Straight Talk Monday through Friday. And if it's been a blessing to your life, hopefully it can be a blessing to other people's lives as well.
Indeed. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. We continue on with Pastor Mark's series called Life Lessons, Parables of Jesus. And today we're in a message called Utilizing a Bold Faith. Our text will be found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Here's Pastor Mark with this edition of Straight Talk.
Parables, the teachings of Jesus, red letter editions to the book of Matthew. And today we will be looking at the parable of the talents, which if I were to give it a title, I would call it Use It or Lose It. It applies to the natural realm, to the spiritual realm, and to the physical realm. Use it or lose it. You know, that principle of use it or lose it, I see it all around me. You've experienced it. It applies to the natural realm, to the spiritual realm, and to the physical realm. Most of you know that I was doing ministry in Europe for the last month and a half, and I had the opportunity at one of my speaking engagements to counsel a woman who was from France. Problem was, she didn't speak English. And so she came up to me, and in her French, she said, "Pastor Mark, I was wondering if you could counsel with me and pray with me. I have some issues I have to deal with." Now, I had lived in France for about two summers when I was 15 and 17. And back then, I knew enough French to get me in trouble. Parce que je parlais français un petit peu, mais pas beaucoup. And when she came to talk to me, I thought, well, I speak French. So she started rattling off in French and telling me about her past, her background, her, the way her father raised her, deep emotions, crying. And then I understood everything she was saying. Then when it came time for me to talk with her, I realized this ain't going to work. Now, I could say stuff like a two-year-old, pray, God, good, pray, lot, much faith. But I figured that didn't sound too deep for counseling. So I had to break down and get a counselor to translate for me, because I realized that because I had not used my French in a long time, I had lost my French. You use it or you what? You lose it. This is the same thing. I used to play guitar. Some of you don't know this, but for years I led the worship at New Life Community Church. Then they got some real musicians and kicked me off the worship band. But I used to play the guitar, and I actually had calluses on my fingers from playing the acoustical guitar, because those of you that are guitar players know that if you play enough, your finger, your left hand, develops calluses where you press down the strings. Well, recently, my son Josiah, I was trying to get him to play the guitar, so he got a guitar for his birthday. And I started giving him some basic guitar lessons. And after playing for a while, my fingers were hurting me. And I realized I had lost my calluses. Because you either use it or you lose it. Several years ago, when we were selling the building at 44th and Palina, our church building there, we sat down with the lawyers and we're dealing with the real estate transaction. And he asked us about the driveway. And he said, how often do you use the driveway? We say, well, we use the driveway, but the neighbor next to us uses it more than we do. And he told me that there's a law of domain, that if someone for years and years and years uses a section of your property, and they've done it for over 7 years, even though it's your property, when you go to sell it, they can claim the right of domain because you either use it or you lose it. In the spiritual realm, it's the same way. You have a muscle of faith. And when you use that muscle of faith, that muscle increases. It grows stronger by the day. You are able to believe God for small things and then greater things and then bigger things and then things beyond your expectation because you are using your faith and your faith is increasing. But when you begin to rely on yourself and you don't use your faith begins to experience atrophy. It's the same with your spiritual gifts. Every single person in this auditorium has a spiritual gift. It's not a talent. It's not an ability. It's not a skill. It's a divine, supernatural gift given to you via the Holy Spirit at the moment of your salvation, which empowers you to minister to other people in the body via encouragement or administration or healing or evangelism or prophecy. Or all kinds of gifts that are given to the body of Christ. But either you use it or you are going to lose it, like happened to Timothy when the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, stir up the gift that's in you because it's about to die. You need to stir it up or it's going to die. Matthew, in this chapter, these verses are about that very concept of using what God has given to us. So I will begin reading in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 25. It says, words of Jesus. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and he entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Now let me pause here and just explain what a talent is in this context. A talent in this context was a measure of money. Now over the years in the English language, because of this passage, we have actually begun to use the word talent as an ability that's given to us. But talent in these days was a measure of money. It comes from both the Latin and the Greek root meaning to weigh, a measure that is weighed. And it was worth approximately about $1,000 to $1,500, which bought a lot more in those days than it does today. So when it says one was given 5 talents, we can just to round it off say he was given $5,000. And another was given $2,000. And one, according to his ability, was given $1,000. And it says, the man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. Now that's quite a return, 100% on his investment. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. In others, from $2,000 to $4,000. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and to settle accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents brought the other 5 and said, Master, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with the few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. But oh, then the guy that buried his talent. The man who had received 1 talent came and he said, Hey, master, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. And I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have at least put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I return, I would receive it back with interest. Take the talent from him who and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have in abundance. And whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. Thus says the word of the Lord. Now, if you know, as we have been talking the last several weeks, a parable is a simple story that reflects a profound truth. This is a simple story about a servant, a master that goes and leaves his possessions divvied up among three servants. And when he comes back, he expects to hold his servants accountable for what he has left him. But this story has profound implications for you and I. And I want us to note four principles that we glean out of this parable. I want you to take notes, write them down, because this could literally change your life. Principle number one, this parable is about life and faithfulness. And the first principle I want to give you is this: we will be given the ability. I want you to notice that in the beginning, every single servant gets something. One gets five, one gets two, and another gets one. Now, how was it determined that they should get five, two, and one? It says according to their ability. Obviously, these servants had been working for their master for some time, and he'd been able to observe them, and so he gave them according to their ability to handle what he was given them. You say, well, Pastor, where do we get our ability from? I believe that you and I are born with certain abilities. We can't change those abilities. You have a personality you were born with. You have a set of gifts. Some of you are great artistically, and some of you can't draw a stick figure, but you're great at accounting. Some of you think with more of the left side of your brain. Some of you more with the right side of your brain. Some of you are great relationally. And some of you are very awkward with people, but you are great at making things and working with your hands. And some of you have skills in musical instruments. And some of you, God bless you, you take to heart where God says make a joyful noise, because that is what you do when you sing or play an instrument.
You are listening to Pastor Mark Jobe, lead pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Please stay tuned, and after the broadcast, I'll tell you how you can get a copy of this message for free, as well as give you information about Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church. Right now, let's get back into the message. Our text is found in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Our message is called Utilizing a Bold Faith.
But nonetheless, we are all given a certain degree of natural talent, natural ability. We don't determine that natural ability or talent. We are born with a certain degree. However, what we do after is up to us, whether that ability and talent increases or that ability and talent decreases. Let me just give you a couple things that are important about this, because I run into some people that are always bemoaning what they don't have. Let me tell you this: God is never going to ask you to give account for what you don't have, only for what you do have. Stop saying, well, if I just could sing, if I could just play an instrument, well, if I just had that gift, or if I just had that wife or that husband or that house or that job, then God could really use me. Then I would be somebody. Let me tell you, God, your problem is not what you don't have. Your problem is what you do have, and what are you doing with what you have? One got one got two, one got five. They could have compared notes, and one could have said, wait a second, I just ended up with one. The guy with two could have said, hey, I want five. This is no fair. But when God comes back to give, and we are to give account, God will never ask you to give account for what you didn't possess. He will ask you to give account for what you had, what you started with, what he gave into your hands. That's natural ability. This principle is huge. And when he talks about a talent, even though here in this passage he uses the word talent, I believe it refers to anything. The spiritual principle is anything that God gives you, anything that you have is a gift of God. This is huge. Your job, it's a gift of God. Your health is a gift of God. Your mind is a gift from God. Your spouse, yes, even your spouse is a gift from God. All that you possess is God given. It's been entrusted to you and you are considered a steward. Now let me just jog your mind and let me bash down some of your misconceptions concerning stewardship. Because I believe a lot of us have this thing wrong. Some of us believe that we have a life and everything that we have in our life is ours, and that God requires that we take a chunk of what is ours and give it to him. So we take a chunk of time on Sundays and give it to God. We take a chunk of our money and we give it to God. We take a chunk of our talents and give it to God. And we say, okay, God, I'm going to give you 10%. The rest belongs to me. As long as you'd have your 10%, I have my 90%. Then we're square. We're okay. When I go to the house of God, I won't swear. I won't drink. I won't bring drugs in my pocket. I won't stare up and down at the women because that's God's chunk of time. And the rest of the time, Monday through Saturday, that's my time. God, you have your time on Sunday morning. Monday through Saturday, that's my time. I do whatever I want as long as I give you your chunk of time. God, I have my money. As long as I give you 10% or I give some offerings to you, that's your money. This is my money. Let me tell you, that is absolutely, unequivocally, a distorted, unabashedly unbiblical view of life. Because what God teaches is that all that you have and all that you are, all that you possess and all that you think and your dreams and your possessions and your health and your mind and your body and everything that you are is God's. Now, you are entrusted with it. Therefore, it means that you are a steward of what God gives you. And therefore, as a steward of what God gives you, you need to be constantly asking yourself this question: God, how would you like me to manage what is yours? You see, that'll change your mind around. That'll absolutely, hey, God has no obligation to bless what is not his. But let me tell you, if it's his, he blesses it. You see, some of you are keeping all of this, you're living your life and you're saying, okay, God, please bless me. Why should I bless it? It's all yours. You run it like you want. You do whatever you want. But you see, when you're just a steward, this is God's, and you're just trying to run your life according to God's stewardship principles. Hello. So how does that affect you? Well, it affects the way you deal with your body, for example. You don't just say, okay, God, on Sundays I'm going to show up, sit in the seat for an hour and a half or whatever, and that's my offering to you of my body. No, you say, God, my body belongs to you. In fact, the Word of God says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means it is the indwelling of God. You, your body, your physical body is the indwelling of God. Where you go, you take God in a special way. Therefore, if your body is the temple of God and God has just loaned you your body for you to take care of your body, then you're going to watch what you put into your body. You're going to think twice about substance abuse because this is God's body, not yours. You're going to watch what you drink, what you snort, what you smoke, what you inhale, because this is temple maintenance. God's saying, hey, This is my body that I've loaned to you for however many years. Now you take care of it as though it belonged to me. Let me go even further. This body is God's temple. This is one of the greatest arguments to sexual purity anywhere found in Scripture, because your body is the temple indwelling of the Most High God. What you do, yes, and who you go to bed with and where you go to bed with and what you do with your body, it matters to God, because you are taking God into whatever you do. That should make you think twice. Some of you think you can check God outside the door. Some teenagers think they can check God outside the car. Your body, it's the temple. It's sacred property. It's holy. In fact, in 1 Corinthians it says, when you join your temple to a prostitute, you are taking what is God and joining yourself with taking the holy and desecrating it with a prostitute. Why? Because it's God's. I'm talking about what God has entrusted to you. Every part of your life is God's, and you are to look at it and ask this question: God, how would you like me to manage what you have given me? On the other hand, it's great to know that it's God's. Sickness or disease, God, this is your body. This is your body. This is yours. Nothing can touch it if you don't want to touch it. Nothing can affect it or disease it or kill it unless you want to kill it or disease it. My life cannot be taken before God's time, because my life belongs to God. I entrust it to Him. This is your body. What a beautiful thing it is to know that we belong to God. Yes? Amen. And what we need to understand here, it's a powerful thing. What we need to understand is that whatever we have is entrusted to us as stewards of what we have. And we should be continually asking ourselves this question: how would you like to manage my dreams and my family? That's why we are so intent here about the Word of God, because you need to be asking yourself this question: God, how do you want me to manage my marriage? How do you want me to manage my relationships? How do you want me to manage my thinking and my time and what I do? Because if I manage it according to your principles and your ways, it'll have the highest degree of return and joy and prosperity, because your way, God, is always the top way. Now, the second principle I want to give you is not only the principle of ability, but I want to give you the principle of understanding that we have an awesome responsibility. You see, it tells us in verse 16 that after the master went away on a long journey, the man who had received 5 talents went once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. And so also the one that was given 2 went away and made 2 more. But the one who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, we need to understand this, that God has given us stewardship not to be passive about it, but to be responsible with what God has given us. Now, I want you to notice a couple things about what this steward of 5 did. The first thing I want you to notice is that he took action immediately. You see, an effective steward takes action immediately with his talents and his abilities. I run into people, they're always waiting to use their gifts. Well, when I have a little more Bible knowledge, I'm going to really serve God. Well, when my kids are grown up, oh, I'm going to serve God. Well, when I get married and have a good husband, whoa, I'm going to serve God. Well, when I get rid of the husband I have, I'm going to serve God good. When I get a new job, I'm going to really serve God. When I'm a little older, I'm going to serve God. When it's always win, 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 win.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe, the lead pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Our message today has been called Utilizing a Bold Faith, which is from his brand new series called Life Lessons, Parables of Jesus. Tune in tomorrow for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.